Hi, I'm Amy Bickay, and when I'm not helping small business owners with simple, practical, proven HR support, I'm listening to the Power Plug podcast by Fidelity Bank.
Are you a woman ready to charge up her business? You're in the right place. This is the Power Plug podcast by Fidelity Bank, where we believe in your POWER, the potential of women entrepreneurs realized, and all women with an entrepreneurial spirit. Each episode is filled with practical advice, tools, and tips to help you build your business and keep you energized. Now for your host, Mary Foley.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back. I'm your host, Mary Foley. It's April. Can you believe it? The start of the second quarter of 2019 already. Has your business been growing? Do you need to hire more people to help? Maybe you've lost an employee, you know, one of the good ones, dagnabbit, and you want to figure out how to keep the team members you love longer. Well, good news. That's what we're going to explore today. And I got to tell you, though, right before that, I want to make sure that you know you can check out all the podcasts on a ton of topics to help you grow and manage your business. Topics like power networking strategies and leasing office space, and savvy market research, finding balance, and more. To get all these episodes, you can go right now to fidelitybankpower.com. And you can subscribe there and you can immediately get access on your phone. You just click on one of the app icons. If you've got an iPhone, you want to click on the iTunes app. If you have an Android phone, click on the Stitcher app. You download that app, you set up a free account, and you can immediately start listening to all of the episodes past. And as new ones come out, boom, they will be right there for you. Now for today's guest. Today we're talking with Amy Bickay, founder of HR NOLA. Her company offers small and medium-sized businesses a full suite of HR services, including being on-site and also remote HR consulting. Amy is a senior certified professional from the Society of Human Resource Management with over 20 years of in-house HR practitioner experience. And last year, she was honored as one of the 50 women in the 2018 class of the New Orleans City Business Women of the Year. And that was because of her professional and community achievements. And I just thought to myself, well, of course, because we get nothing but the best peeps here for you on the Power Plug podcast. So, Amy, welcome to the Power Plug podcast.
Thanks for having me, Mary. It's a pleasure to be here today.
It's a pleasure to have you. And I want to dive right in because there's so much that you know and you love about HR that we can benefit from. But I want to also put it in context for all of our listeners. Last month on the podcast, we talked with Melissa Thies about something that all business owners need. And that's also something they typically are not, I didn't say necessarily good at, but it's not their expertise. It's not my expertise, that's for sure. And that's in bookkeeping and accounting. And this month, we're talking with you about another essential aspect of running our business. And that's something, again, most of us as business owners are not that versed in. And it would be hard to have this expertise because it requires so much. But that's the whole area of human resources. As you know, there are a ton of HR topics. So today, we really want to focus on hiring team members and then keeping them, you know, keeping the good ones anyway. With that, I want to start with hiring. Can you give us a pulse of what's happening today when it comes to hiring for small business owners especially? I mean, what's really going on in today's talent marketplace and what's essential for us to find great employees?
Sure. Well, I think, Mary, business owners of all sizes of organizations are really starting to struggle today with sourcing and retaining good talent. But in particular, most of the market that we work with is our small business segment. And for me and my team, it really boils down to about 6 or 7 strategies that we've perfected over the last few years in working with these small businesses. And it really starts with a great way to find good, talented people is to incentivize your referrals and ask your work connections and your own employees and your networking groups. Next, actually knowing, you know, the person that you want to hire, referrals from your existing employees is really one of the best channels for recruiting for us. We work with a lot of businesses in the restaurant space, and chances are that the very best server or host that you have now is going to be the person who knows a few people but also works in the industry. So we advise folks always start with their best employees and see who they recommend. Another item is using your social media and your website, which is really essential for hiring great people. We always say your employment brand really needs to match your customer branding. And it's important that you portray your authentic self from an employer standpoint, so you're sourcing the right people and keeping them. And when you're using social media, chances are some of your biggest fans out there are already following you. So that's where you're going to get the best candidates, are going to investigate your company and see if you have any openings. And for the most part, it's free, right? Mm-hmm. From the compliance standpoint, I have to throw in there that, you know, I always advise employees to have some type of applicant tracking mechanism in place, because contrary to what a lot of small businesses understand, you are required to track candidates from the very first time you hire your first employee for 1 year. So that's pretty important. Another big area for us is job descriptions, really putting your best foot forward with your job descriptions and your job listings. Job descriptions help you source the right person. They also help you hold people accountable after you hire them. Taking time to create and craft a really good job posting is important. And then planning the interview out. We see often that we are in such a rush and in such a hurry. Next thing you know, the candidate's here, and we haven't put a lot of thought into, you know, how we're going to hire them, what's the roles and responsibilities for the position. And then I always tell my CEOs, don't settle. We need help, and we feel like we're very rushed to replace an employee, but we always ask for patience. We like to say it's worth the wait, slow to hire, quick to fire. But you know, definitely not settling for just anyone. And then lastly, I would say, don't forget about how critical onboarding is. You know, the hiring process really doesn't stop as soon as your new hire gets there on the first day. So you really have to have a process in place for your hiring to make sure that you're setting them up for success and long-term retention, which is really important.
Okay. Well, it's funny because all the things that you just said didn't have like, go to a job, you know, service, recruiting service, you know, like Indeed.com. And that's very popular today. In the past, sometimes it's Career Builder or Monster.com. Do you not recommend those? Or are you saying do those after perhaps the incentivizing for referrals and the social media and that kind of reach out?
Yeah, I think first and foremost, you want to connect with people who already know you, understand your business, or perhaps in your personal network and also your professional network. And then, and perhaps simultaneously at the same time, you venture into that social recruiting space, which is really more of where more non-traditional recruiting is starting to happen today. And between those two channels, 9 times out of 10, you're going to find the right person. And that's kind of where the, you know, go to Monster, go to Indeed. Sure, those are great, great platforms and housed with a lot of great potential in candidates. But if you already have someone who knows someone, that's always a much better connection. You know, traditional recruiting really relied on finding potential employees in a way, and it was really time consuming, and it was expensive, and it wasn't quite as efficient. And people still do this, of course. But when you implement a more social recruiting strategy, you can get your brand message across numerous platforms. And, you know, just looking at quick statistics on this, last year they did a great study and showed that 73% of 18 to 34 year olds found that their last job came through social media. 73%, which was pretty impactful for me. And 89% of recruiters that we polled in SHRM said that they've hired someone off LinkedIn. One platform alone, 89% of recruiters. And then my last statistic, which was very moving, is 83% of job seekers prefer Facebook over any other social media network. So, you know, we know millennials are tech-savvy generation, meaning, you know, they're going to be drawn to more companies who obviously are using the same type of technologies that they access every day. So, you know, leveraging those social recruiting tools allows your potential candidates to submit their resumes through social channels. and have auto-filling contact forms like LinkedIn has. And when you do this, you're showing potential employees that you make it a priority to provide a work environment that they're really comfortable and accustomed to. So social recruiting is really where we are today, and it's going to take over in the future.
I'm thinking about also with this, maybe some of the biggest mistakes you see small business owners make when it comes to hiring, because you've talked with a lot of small business owners, you've helped them. So what are some of the biggest mistakes that you've seen that we can avoid?
Oh yeah. Well, I will tell you some of the most common we see, and the most common one of all is probably not defining the job duties clearly. I mean, you can't hire the right person if you don't know who you want. And this goes back to what I mentioned earlier about having a good job description. That's really the first thing we tackle when we enter into a retained services agreement with a client. It's that job description is necessary from hire to retire. Another mistake we see is not having a good hiring process in place, which I talked about as well. You are legally obligated from the moment you make your first hire, even if it's an independent contractor. So we come across small businesses every day that don't have personnel files or I-9s completed and their posters up. And, you know, that's a pretty easy fix if you have the right person in there who knows what they're doing. Another mistake I think a lot of small business owners make, in particular our startup CEOs, is talking more than they listen. And, you know, there's a time and a place for that, but really taking a step back sometimes and allowing the candidate to speak. We all are probably guilty of promoting our own company and interest and trying to sell the candidate on why they should come work for our company. And that's important, but there's also a moment when you really need to step back and listen to what they have to say and give the candidate an opportunity to sell themselves on you. I think another mistake is ignoring cultural fit. You really have to define your culture today, and even more important, define your purpose and then stick to it. I work with some really great startups, and they are getting this right from the start. Our more traditional businesses, I would say, are a little bit reluctant to define this, but really you can't ignore it today. Also, probably trusting your gut too much or too little. You can't always rely on your gut. And I think if you pull data from turnover, then maybe that might prove your gut wrong from time to time. But I'm a big fan of pre-employment screening and assessments. I just think it's a great investment to make on the front end to ensure that you're really making a smart hire, which will reduce costs later on in turnover. It's just so critical. And I think probably from two more aspects, I don't see a lot of businesses today checking references. It's kind of a lost art, but this is really an effective way, and it really works. We had a client recently that was getting ready to make an offer, and it narrowed the candidate list down to two. It's for a staff professional, and they asked us to come in and kind of do a quick interview and assess them. And just conducting the reference checks, we found out about a terrible work history and prior work performance from this particular candidate from multiple sources. And I have to say, you know, that sure helped us make a quick decision for this employer. And again, saved us a great deal of headache down the road. And then lastly, a big mistake we see is rushing the process. Again, I'm big fans of being very slow to hire, being very deliberate. And slow to hire means that you're being deliberate about checking references and ensuring there's a cultural fit there, properly explaining the expectations of the position. And then, you know, quick to hire in the right circumstances is always necessary, but don't always rush the process.
Yeah. And particularly when we really need some help, or so we've lost a key team member and we've got to fill that, you know, we're down in terms of literally our man and our women power. It's so easy to go, oh, they sound great. Right. Like,
sure.
You know?
Yeah.
So it could be easily setting it up for, like you said, a bigger headache, and heartache. Mm-hmm. Well, Amy, I'm trusting my gut. We have to take a break right now, but I've got some more questions for you. So hold on and we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Liz Brockman, in charge of power at Fidelity Bank. As a woman in business, you know that it all comes down to great relationships with your customers, employees, suppliers, and your bank. That's why we're excited about our new Power Program. We have designed to meet not only your financial needs to grow your business, but also your non-financial ones, like practical know-how, savvy connections, and trustworthy resources. Whether it's our online Power Member Directory, member-only Facebook group, sponsored events, or more, we are your community partner to help your business succeed and flourish. At Fidelity, we're here for powerful business. When women in business succeed, we all do. To find out more, go to fidelitybankpower.com, member FDIC and equal housing lender.
Welcome back. This is Mary Foley, and I'm talking with Amy Bacay, founder of HR NOLA. And Amy, we just talked about finding and hiring employees. Let's talk about what it takes to keep the good ones. So what's essential today to keeping great employees?
Right. We put in all this work and effort to bring them in the door, and now we have to keep them, right? And, we experience this a great deal today with employee turnover for so many businesses and industries. And so after a while, we have a best practices approach, really, and we try to ensure that our clients are keeping their good people. And it really starts with recognizing employee contributions. And this seems so simple, right? But it's something that I think gets overlooked very often. And when we conduct these employee engagement and satisfaction surveys for businesses, time and time again, employees are saying, we don't feel appreciated. And so what I tell our business owners and CEOs is, tell your staff how much they're valued through, thank you comments from their manager or even myself when I'm on site, or a shout out at a staff meeting. You really want your employees to know that you like them and you respect them and you admire their contributions. And we like to solicit feedback from employees, as I said, with our surveys to ensure that they know we're listening to them. I always say if you're going to ask them, though, you need to address it. You can't ignore it. And so that leads you to figure out what works for your team. This is how you're going to keep them. There's no one-size-fits-all approach to engagement or motivation. And so whether it's flexible schedules, remote working, shared office space, continuing education, whatever it may be, you won't know unless you ask them what's important to them. We had an employer recently poll their employees, and they were thinking they were going to come back with one particular thing that they wanted more. And oftentimes you think your employees are going to come back and say, we want more money. Well, overwhelmingly, their employee population said, we'd like a PTO policy. We don't want vacation or sick time separated. We want PTO. And that was a really simple and easy win for us. You should build personal relationships with your employees. Most of our companies today operate remotely. And when you have everyone spread out across the country, you can't really have those water cooler chats, right? They're kind of impossible. So right. You have to get to know each person on a different level and help build some team camaraderie around company loyalty. And you have to get to know each other. And whether that's, Zoom calls, video chats, weekly staff meetings in some form or fashion, getting to know your people. And then you have an opportunity to share priorities. When your team knows what's important to you and your business, then they're going to make better decisions. And that's pretty simple. Give them the tools that they need. I would say no job is a picnic, no job's a walk in the park, because that's why we call it work. And so you need to ensure that your people have access to tools and information that they need to help them succeed and do their jobs very productively. Offering a competitive benefits package is also another way to keep great employees. And, when you're competing for clients and for employees, if you can offer things like schedules or health insurance or stipends for insurance or some type of supplemental like disability and life, it really makes a difference when you have to start attracting and keeping people. And then finally, along the same lines as a simple thank you, is ask for your employees' commitment. We started asking people this, especially managers. Will you commit to stay in your position for at least 2 years? And of course, there's no guarantee, and we're not talking about employment contract here, but even with a verbal agreement, most people are going to think twice before they break their word. So, we know being in business is difficult. We know being an employer is hard. And there's so many pressures facing all of us every day, but a simple thank you or a way to go to an employee, it can really, really motivate someone. And making an effort to do so can really mean the difference between growth and retaining your current staff. So a lot of these ways to keep people don't really cost you much.
Yeah. I was thinking these are all really great ideas, but to your point, they're deliberate. You have to really think about them and then take action.
Yeah, we work with a restaurant group here locally who has a tradition of feeding the staff before the start of their meal. And the entire staff for the restaurant comes in and they cook together and they sit together and they dine together like a family. And then they clean up together and then they open the restaurant. And one of the things came back in the survey was, don't change that. We like that. We need it. And, you know, when you're dealing with people in the service industry, sometimes maybe they haven't had an opportunity to eat yet before they've come in. So you're checking off so many boxes with things like that, but you won't know until you ask them, right? So that's why we always say there's no one size fits all. You have to figure that out.
Good point. Well, millennials are a huge part of today's talent pool, but we hear a lot of times that they're unrealistic in terms of their expectations, they're hard to manage. I'm wondering, from your perspective and your experience, is that true?
See, Mary, I have a different perspective on this. It is true that not all employees of all ages are motivated the same way, but coming from someone who actually manages a large team of millennials, I think they're getting a bad rap. And I think, you know, they're going to start proving folks wrong very soon. You know, it struck me the other day as I was giving a talk on generations in the workplace that we've got millennials that are almost 40 years old now. So we're not just talking about a 22-year-old anymore. We're talking about a 37, 39-year-old millennial. They approach work differently, but everyone does, right? And you know, millennials are a product of what the boomer generation shaped. And so when you sit around and say, why is this person like that? You think, okay, let's look inward first, right? I'll give you an example. Employees today tend to view benefits differently. And by benefits, I'll tell you what I mean. We sat down with a group of boomers, if you will, and we gave them the sentence and we said, fill in the blank. Benefits are blank. And overwhelmingly, the boomers cited health insurance. So benefits are health insurance. We later in the day had a different group in, and we asked the same question, including some members of my own team in there, millennials. Their response was things like flexible scheduling, work-life integration, combined paid time off, opportunities to learn and advance my education. And so you see those primary differences. That doesn't necessarily seem like a negative stereotype about millennials. It just says, this is different. Things motivate us differently. We consider these things benefits. Health insurance is fantastic, but it's not a priority right now because there's other options to get it. So it's really, again, it goes back to assessing your staff, looking at who you're employing, and understanding that, you know, maybe you can't motivate a boomer the same way as a millennial. But I think there's going to start being more positive stereotypes about millennials very soon.
I know you work with a lot of small business owners. How do I know when I should outsource my HR needs rather than do it myself? And what should I look for in a third-party HR service?
I get asked this question at least weekly, Mary. And my first response is always, you know, the best time for HR is before you think you need it. And if you really think about that and let that set in for a moment, employment law is no joking matter. From a compliance standpoint, if you do not have someone that is knowledgeable and experienced and current about hiring employees, hiring practices, discrimination, harassment, payroll, termination protocols, then you need to find someone to do it. And whether that's bringing someone in on a full-time basis or outsourcing it, you have to find someone to do it. And you can't just trust, the person in the office who's been designated to perhaps answer the phones, or perhaps they're really smart and intelligent accounting person. There is a specialty to HR, and there's a huge compliance and risk mitigation to the function. We work with businesses with as few as 15 employees, and we can tailor however many hours they need for them each month so they're not burdened with the full-time overhead of an experienced and certified HR professional. And we always say, again, the best time for HR is before you think you need it. And so when you start looking at things like risk mitigation and value creation and workforce planning, there's no one better than an HR person to help you do that. And so if you don't have someone on your team currently that you trust can do all of that and keep you from getting sued, then you need to outsource it. You need to find someone who can.
What was the moment in your journey that inspired you to do what you're doing now?
Well, I have always belonged to a local chapter of SHRM, the Society of HR Management. And as a volunteer conducting audits for nonprofits and small businesses in this area a few years back, I saw so many compliance risks and opportunities to improve the workforce. But I saw these business owners who just weren't educated properly on what the HR function could provide to them. And they also were not very certain that they could afford, or perhaps maybe their business didn't even warrant a full-time HR person. So, you know, they were making do. And it occurred to me then that I wanted to offer this type of service to them. And it came during a moment of transition for me in a career, and I thought, this is it. And so I pivoted from that more traditional in-house role that I'd had for 20 years. And I moved into this more external consultant with a real focus. And I tell you, it's the best decision I've ever made, because I see that we're making a difference every day for these businesses. And it's a wonderful feeling.
That is great. It really is. With that 20 years of experience in that corporate HR, boy, that really, you've seen a lot. You can help companies grow as they need, right? And it's clear you're passionate about the topic, which I think is fantastic. It's like when I have an accountant, I want that accountant to love accounting. Okay, because mm-hmm. that means that they're really going to do the best job, and definitely better than I can. Wow. For those who want to learn more about you and connect, what's the best way that they can get in touch with you?
Well, you can visit our website at www.hrnola.com, or you can call 833-HRNOLA1.
Wow. You have your own HR NOLA 1. I love that. The own phone number. That's great. It's really into the brand.
Makes it easy, right?
It does. It does. I love it. I love it. Well, we could keep talking on and on, Amy, because I have even more questions, but we have run out of time. But thank you so much for helping us understand about how to find really great employees and keep the good ones. It's really been fascinating and helpful. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me, Mary. I enjoyed it.
All of us have powerful people in our lives, just like the one on today's Power Plug podcast. Our Power program is unlike any other in our region. At Fidelity, we're bringing amazing women together to be part of something special. We not only have banking and financial options with women entrepreneurs in mind, we also provide opportunities for you to make valuable connections and to promote your business. At Fidelity, we're here for powerful business. When women in business succeed, we all do. To find out more, go to fidelitybankpower.com. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Whew, wow, that was fast. But we hope you are feeling re-energized to power up your business and go after your dreams. Make sure you stay recharged. Subscribe to the Power Plug podcast at fidelitybankpower.com so you can get the latest episode as soon as it comes out. Until next time, keep believing in the power of you, just like we do.